As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on the way, "Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit one at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." And Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you're asking. Can you drink the chalice that I'm going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." And he replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers, but Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great make their authority felt over them. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as the ransom for many." Jesus is inviting us to a radical sort of freedom. I get a double message from this gospel. The first is obvious. I need to deal with my ambition, especially when it's projected by the unconscious expectations of my friends or status in life or my family. One is reminded of the story from the Desert Fathers. There was a monk who was perfect in all things. He lived alone in the desert, and his holiness attracted many people who would come to him for conversation and prayer. One day, one such visitor just happened to mention that the monk's brother had just been made Bishop of Cairo, and the monk burned with disappointment. I like that element of surprise. The foolishness of our jealousies overtakes us and removes all the sweetness from an otherwise exemplary life. I'm so foolish that I have had my feelings hurt when people pointed out that I was deficient, but in things that I never even tried to do in the first place. So our ego plays tricks on us. I'm amused at the sports phenomenon of everyone pretending to be number one. It would have to be a very small pond where I would be the chief frog. Here we have to be careful, because in the church, I think that we become used to poor and distinguished leadership. We mask our disappointment and try to look at the bright side. But there is more to this than just stifling our dissatisfaction. I think there's a second meaning to the gospel that will help us, and it has some very exciting possibilities. This is so strong that it will even speak to the larger church in the face of any disappointments. We really do not need to wait until the end of time when God will fix things. You can be assured of a joyful life that is grounded on something more durable right now, far more satisfactory than the shifting sands of fame or fortune. The gospel suggests that we become a servant. If you want to get at things that are real, you must move down in life and become grounded in what God has called you to be. This cannot rest on the uncertainty, chance, or arbitrariness of an election or appointment or winning the lottery, however you define such good fortune. Whoever wishes to be really great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be real, to be happy. Just so the Son of God came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life to set us free. Move down in the scheme of things so that your life is grounded in bringing joy and pleasure to your brothers and sisters. There's no happier sort of life. This gospel rescues us from the tyranny of gossipy comparisons, moments of fame, and the inevitability of disappointments. As a servant, you will meet Jesus in the people you serve and be blessed with the surprises that come from this. Recently, I read a review of Arthur Miller's play, The Death of a Salesman. The critic mentioned the amazing phenomenon of well-dressed businessmen coming backstage after the performance or waiting to greet the actors and bursting into tears. These are successful businessmen, but the play is a mirror of their lives and souls. Like Willie Loman, the salesman, they've been trying to sell themselves more than any product. The servant finds a better way. The servant is a person of freedom. May God bless you with such deep satisfaction today.